IPMNation.com.
Live from the Counterpunch Media Studio in Columbus, Ohio, this is All Natural Being with Brian Brody, brought to you by IPMNation.com. Get ready for the gong heard round the world.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is not a drill.
Well, that's certainly a passionate gong tonight.
All Natural Being with Brian Brody is designed to shake your sense of self to the core.
It's full contact psychology with an empowering twist, a philosophical loofah for your soul.
For those of you not ready or comfortable releasing your inner superhuman, listener discretion is advised.
Here's your host,
Brian Brody.
Good evening once again, and thank you for stopping by, hanging out for what is, if we do the math, is the 407th episode of the number one rated show here on IPM Nation. You're into All Natural Being. The gong made it through the studio cleansing. The gong heard round the world, broadcast as it happens. If we can get all the technical stuff worked out, but broadcast as it happens, thanks to our good friends at Telestream's Wirecast, live from the Counterpunch Media Studios here in a suburb of Chile, Columbus, Ohio, directly over to IPMNation.com. Of course, multicast live on Facebook, over on YouTube with the Counterpunch channel, AllNaturalBeing.com, which is a.k.a. BrianBrody.com. And, of course, you know you can get it on our app. And the show is rebroadcast on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, I guess over on YouTube and Twitter as well. Greetings wherever you are here in the frozen garden of the mortals, at least if you're in the Midwest or the East, the labyrinth of life itself, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, the pivots, the swerves, the flukes and whims, the plummeting temperatures, the sheer havoc and synchronicity and serendipity of it all. Blind alleys and cul-de-sacs, sure, but never a dead end unless you and I decide to tap out. But what we're doing is always putting your heart's highest priority, top of the list, always calling on your true wit, wisdom, and wallop of your inner whisper. Not some watered-down version of yourself, right? Who digs tepid? Let me tell you, nobody, right? That's no way to go through life. So what we're here to do, as we talk about all the time, is to out-brutal the brutal that is the cut and shuffle that fate can deal you on a daily basis, and to bring your own bold once and for all. I like to think of it as a philosophy. Easy for you to say. A philosophy fix. We'll talk about that. But before we hit it this evening, quick hello to my friend's philosophy. That is the right way to say the word. In the United States and Canada, Mexico, the UK, my dear friends in Ecuador, China, Philippines, Brazil, India, Australia, Germany, Italy, and France, Nigeria, Turkey, Japan, Singapore, Thailand, Belgium, Sweden, Israel, South Africa, Egypt, and Puerto Rico. Got to be warmer there. Kenya, the Netherlands, Iran, Colombia, Greece, Ireland, Argentina, Peru, Austria, Poland. To those joining us from all over the globe, it truly is great to have you with us. I am fired up, as I always am, to be driving your bandwagon, to be your virtual hitchhiker if you're out and about on the go, to be your biggest fan, to be avidly you, because I think that's a good gig. So what are we waiting for? Here's your opportunity, our opportunity together to mortal up, because I think it's time. I think it's absolutely necessary to love the way you think. It's time to be your all-natural being. And it's time, as I've started to say of late, it's time for your grit to confront the relentless grip of life, and you're going to win. So what do you say? Let's go kick in some doors. And again this evening, before I want to hop right into the thread, thank everybody. We got a lot of feedback today on a couple different posts we made. And all I was saying earlier on was that, you know, you hear about these cold weather. And it's cold, no doubt, right? No doubt. We were out throwing hot water up in the air a little bit earlier, like minus three or minus four, whatever it is here. But cold weather
I think the way they pitch it, the way they spin it to us, the way they tell us about it, it's a little more cognitive withering than cold weather. And what I simply mean is what I said earlier, that these types of temperatures, like dirt, is in your DNA, that humanity has been able to survive situations like this, minus the cognitive withering, right? Minus the fear, which is what I thought we'd talk about tonight, philosophical toxins. Are you, everyone wants clean water, clean air, clean lungs, clean food. Do you have any genetically or modified thoughts, maybe? So we're going to talk about philosophical toxins and what we can do to rid ourselves of them, because ultimately we're our own chop block, right? We're hampering our own sense of self with these philosophical toxins, and we can go on a big, we can buy into the binge thinking, always worried, always obsessing, always, are we fearful? Are we all these other things? So we're going to get into philosophical toxins tonight. Now, if you have a particular philosophical toxin that you're victimized by, as I have some too. We'll talk about mine. If you're victimized by it, you can give us a call tonight, 833-MINDUPS, MINDUPS, or 833-646-3877. If you want me to do the math, let me say good evening to Candace. Thank you for joining us. Jamie, thank you for joining us as well. Lee, good evening, Lee. And Alice, nice to see you. Heather, thank you so very much for joining us. Wayne, thank you for posting those links. I appreciate it very much. Heather, good evening. John and Matt, good evening to you as well. Matt, as always, thank you for recording the open to our show that we do here. Well, you know what? We've been kicking this around, too. Before we get to philosophical toxins this evening, don't forget 833-MINDUPS, 833-646-3877. If you got something on your mind, you want to give us a holler. You know, we've been kind of going back and forth in the staff meetings. We have staff meetings, I guess you could say. I really have to thank Wayne and Lee and Alex and everyone that continues to drive this boat forward. So I want to thank them. But we've been kicking it around lately. Do we go? Now, remember when All Natural Being first started out, pre-tumor, pre-everything, I was up every morning at 2 in the morning preparing the show, getting ready to go live. I think we went live at 6 a.m. or maybe 7 a.m. So we're having some conversations lately about, will we keep it as a night show, right, going off at 8 o'clock? But the number of people that are like, no, man, we really would dig that in the morning. It was the first thing that, would get us up and out the door. So throughout, I guess maybe the next week or so, if you have any thoughts, if you have any comments as to about, whether you'd like this to be a morning show or an evening show, by all means, please let us know. John, good evening. He says, hey, everybody. Candace, did you see where they were blowing bubbles and they would instantly freeze? Yeah, that was me in the backyard, to be honest with you, Candace. But I have to tell you, I love this weather. Right now, everyone says, oh, you're making fun of extreme. I'm just saying that there's some times in the media that they get a little bit carried away. Oh, well, yes, it's absolutely can be killer weather. But it has more to do with cognitive withering than cold weather, right? If you have a little bit. Now, here's something that I thought may be of interest in case you didn't know, or in case you need a little bit of a refresher class before we get to philosophical toxins and binge thinking. It's another thing we wanted to kick around. And of course, I forgot to start the clock. How hard can it be? I mean, really, how hard can it be? I got one little remote control here. How hard can it be to start that clock? I get so excited. Right. Well, left over from my days in outdoor survival where, Yellowstone at a pretty decent temperature, well below zero, and I had the time of my life. One of the things that I learned early on was called convective. What is convective heat loss? And it simply means that unlike conductive, right, like conductive heat loss is when you grab something, right? You grab something and the warmth of your body automatically communicates. That's why you start to feel that sense of cold, is that conductive is when you grab a hold or lean up against something or sit on like a cold football stadium. You sit on the seat. That's conductive heat loss. Well, convective heat loss is as wind blows across your body. So two things that I thought would be interesting, maybe you can try it out tomorrow, is that especially with wind chill factor, you just have to block convective heat loss, meaning you want to cover your ears, all the basics, right? You keep everything covered. But the reason you cover it is you don't want the wind blowing across your microclimate stripping that microclimate, which your body at 98.6 degrees tries to keep, right? Keeps a nice little microclimate. Well, the wind will come by and strip that off, and that's when you get cold, right? If you think about it, when you have a really hot cup of hot chocolate, let's say, really hot soup, why do you blow across the top of the soup? Or you're taking soup in a spoon, right? And you go, you blow across that spoon. Well, that's, you're hoping at that point for convective heat loss. You're blowing the microclimate of the hot chicken noodle soup across the top of the spoon so it will cool, and then you're able to, you know, take a delicious bite without, burning yourself. Well, it's the same with the human body. Let me say hello quickly to David. David, thank you so very much for joining us. David Lee Dotson, thank you for joining us here at All Natural Being. We're talking about convective heat loss. And when you're outside, one of the reasons that you want to protect yourself from the wind is that it robs your microclimate. And once it robs your microclimate, your body goes, whoa, time out. I'm not going to stand for that. And it donates more heat to that microclimate. Wind blows along again, more heat, more heat, more heat. Pretty soon your body's like, man, I'm fresh out of heat. I am fresh out of hot. What are we going to do? Then you really have to start to worry about wind chills. The second thing that I would make mention, and I learned this a lot of years ago, where they said that the reason that polar bears have such massive noses is that when you go outside a really, really, really cold air, like some of us are experiencing here, and I think Brother Wallman can attest to this, having been to Antarctica before. And I love the people texting today, oh, it's 62 here in Miami, it's 70 in Los Angeles, this and that, so thank you very much for commiserating, joining in our in our cold weather pain. But one of the reasons that polar bears have such a huge snout is they breathe in through their nose. Now, you and I are designed biologically to breathe in through our nose. And there's so many blood vessels and so many little hairs inside your nose that when you inhale through your nose, it warms up the air before it gets to your lungs. Now, if you go outside and you breathe in through your mouth, straight into your lungs, there's no attempt at all made to warm that air. You breathe in through your nose. There's a little bit of time. It has to work itself through all those nasal passages before it gets to your lungs, and therefore it adjusts the temperature before it does. And here's why it's a big deal. When you and I take in cold air, we breathe super cold air, it shunts all the blood to the body because it goes like, look, we're getting ready to get the crack kicked out of us. It's really cold, so we better pull all the blood in to keep our heart, to keep our lungs, to keep our stomach. You know, we better protect the major organs of the body. So what happens? It pulls in all the blood from your feet and from your hands and from your ears and from the tip of your nose, pulls the blood in from all over in an attempt to protect the warmth of your core. So to a lesser degree, when you breathe in through your nose, you, in fact, lessen that sense of shock. It's kind of like when you hop in the shower and the water's too cold and you go, whoa, right? And your whole body tenses up. Well, that's what happens when you breathe in through your mouth. That cold air getting right into your lungs. Your body goes, mayday, mayday, mayday. And you're in a bad way. But I promise you tomorrow, when you get a chance, and if you're outside, you're commuting, or you're just out with the kids, or you're just out, you know, as I said to my oldest son today, giddy up, get out there and then take a big gulp of this type of weather in so you know you can handle it. Breathe in through your nose and watch the difference. Take a couple quick breaths through your nose and tell me, other than the tingling at the very beginning, you know, notice if you feel, what kind of difference you feel. Then take a breath in, maybe only one, but take a breath in right through your mouth and wait and see how quickly your body goes to cold, right? Because we're not designed that way. We're designed to be breathing through our nose, and that's what warms the air before it gets to our lungs. And why? Just as importantly, it keeps us from shunting all the blood to our core. We're not getting frostbite in our fingers and our toes, tips of our ears, our nose, that kind of thing. So the way that kind of fits in this evening, if you have a tip for surviving the cold weather, give me a call, 833-MINDUPS, 833-646-3877. And yes, I'm told every day to remind you that it is toll-free, right? So you got that going for you. One of the things that I think we can then parlay that in tonight is talking about philosophical toxins, right? And basically, it's a cognitive loss because of convection, because of people blowing their sense of hot air into your life. And then you go, oh, wow, great. Now I have to take their opinion, the committee vote, the thumbs up, the tweets, the re-insta grams, whatever that, you know, whatever it costs. Good evening, Jennifer. Thank you so much for joining us here at All Natural Being. So one of the things about philosophical toxins is we get those through convective cognition loss, right? Just like convective heat loss. You get all these opinions of people blowing in and they, you know, they kind of take roost in your mind. So when we talk all the time about binge thinking, and that was the post that we put up earlier, are you guilty, like I am from time to time, of binge thinking? And what that means basically is that you'll get a thought and that thought just runs, and then another thought runs, and another thought runs, and pretty soon your mind isn't even your own anymore. You're busy with all this binge thinking, all this, right? All this, all these philosophical toxins just plowing into you. Now, fear is a philosophical toxin, right? Stress is a philosophical toxin. I think I had said earlier on Facebook that the greatest threat to human happiness, the greatest cause of human misery, is this sense of forgetting who you ultimately are. And you're not subject to those fears unless you're fearful. You're not subject to that stress unless you're stressful. But that ultimately you control it all. So perhaps for you, if you, like me, a philosophical toxin could be unnecessary fear. Now, we're not saying you run down the middle of the street with a pair of scissors in your hand, right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about a rational sense of understanding what's going on around you in the moment at hand. And I will tell you that some of the big stressors have come in my life where I thought, okay, everything is going to, here's my plan, right? Here's my strategy. Here's my carrot at the end of the stick. Well, this is what I want to happen. Well, as soon as it doesn't happen, well, then we panic, we get all upset, we get depressed, we get this and that. But what if we were to say, hey, everything happens for a reason. And I can learn from everything that hits me, that ultimately my counterpunch is more important than the chop block of fate. So no matter what happens, instead of going, well, that was contrary to my plan, what if we say, I can handle it. Okay, I'll handle it. All right, I'll handle it. And I have to say, I think it was just yesterday. It was very humbling to go back to the doctor and have the doctor say, yeah, no, you're still leaking. You're not healing the way you thought you would. And admittedly, you know, when I first heard that, I was like a punch to the gut. But then you realize, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this occurrence? How am I supposed to benefit from this? How will I grow to be stronger because of this, right? Progressive adaptation in a muscle. How will I grow to be stronger because of this hurdle, because of this chop block? What am I going to do with this incoming information? And if you and I reframe our minds to think that way, then what are we doing? We're, in effect, mortaring up. Oh, which is as good a time of any. And I'm sorry about last night. I didn't get a chance to see a lot of people here on Facebook. I know we were broadcasting, as we are tonight, over to YouTube and the Counterpunch Media channel over there. We're also broadcasting to brianbrody.com if you're watching there. But if you're here on Facebook, then you may have missed this last night. It's our new segment called Where Are They Now? Right? And you think I'd have some kind of... I don't know. Some cool. I don't know what's wrong with me. But at any event, where are they now? Someone asked me today, oh, well, what happened when you cleaned up the set? What happened to that really cool Mortal Up baseball cap? Well, Mortal Up, right, now that we have the bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker, and I have to thank Lee Rowley from copybranding.com. Really cool bumper sticker. Of course, most everyone can tell that we use it now to cover up the Apple logo, so we don't get in trouble for that. So the Mortal Up hat, I thought was a little redundant, right? So I loved wearing it, especially when it's cold down here in the basement. Let's see, is that about right? Yeah. It's cold down here in the basement. I love having this hat on. And before, when I used to swell a good bit, I liked having that hat on. But for the Where Are They Now, it hangs right here, just out of the camera's reach, right? Just out of eye shot. Not, you know, right alongside of the alligator and some of the other things that we got going on here. Is there anything else I could show you today? Nah, I will save that for tomorrow's segment of Where Are They Now. So, that being said, let's get back to philosophical toxins. What are some of yours? You're welcome to call and let me know, 833-646-3877, which of course is toll free, 833-MINDUPS, or just throw one up here in the post or over on YouTube as well, and then we'll be able to respond to those in the YouTube feed. What are some of the philosophical toxins that you're familiar with? What are some of the things that you allow into your mind? What are some of the roadblocks that you put up for yourself? Right? Because ultimately, I've begun to believe, and I think it pretty much plays itself out in the history of humanity, that we are our biggest chop block, that we truly are sleeping with the enemy when it comes to some of the negative thoughts, that we truly have forgotten who we ultimately are and really what we're capable of, and that we can pull off damn near just this side of infinity. We can pull off nearly anything until we go, yeah, I'm full of philosophical toxins, right? Well, then we talked earlier, how about a time for a philosophical fix? What could we do to fix some of the philosophies that chop block us, that keep us remanded in the, you know, remanded somewhere other than where we want to be? What can we do? And as you know by now, if you've been following me through any of these 400 and some odd episodes, I'm a big fan of taking a 24-hour day, chunking it down into what's called 20-minute victories. What can I do right now for the next 20 minutes to put my heart's highest priority top of the list? Because I think what happens is the mind is pretty crafty, right? And the mind says, well, I've created all these different philosophical toxins, or at the very least, I've tolerated all these philosophical toxins. So now I'm just accustomed to them, right? Better the devil you know than the devil you don't, right? So I'm accustomed to all these things. So your mind's going to want to trade. Well, maybe the trade is, you tell it 1/72nd of your day, 1 20-minute little chunk of the day, can I at least try this? Because what we've learned now through neuroscience, and most certainly neuroplasticity, is that when your mind is never doing anything to really hurt you. Your mind is doing what it can to protect you, even though sometimes it goes in it in a out of whack kind of way, right? You're not going full stack, you're going maybe half stack. But the mind always thinks it's going full stack. So what I've learned is if you kind of compromise with yourself and say, okay, great, philosophical toxins, I'm familiar with them. I know where they are. I know what they feel like. I know what they look like. But what if, thank you for everything, mind, but what if we just try for 20 minutes to put our heart's highest priority top of the list? What if we try for 20 minutes? Just listen to Brian for 1/72nd. If he's wrong, then you have 71 other opportunities today to re-hijack my mind. Hi, Candace. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Right? You have 71 other opportunities to hijack my mind. But ultimately, as we say all the time, you're in charge of the cockpit. You're the one controlling how life unfolds for you, or at least your interpretation of how life unfolds for you. So when I talk about faulty philosophies, when I talk about the cause of all the stress, the cause of all the fear, the cause of all the loneliness, the cause of all the anger, the cause of being triggered and outraged and this sense of being maligned and offended and all these other things, it comes from a faulty philosophy. And think about it. If you've been subject to a more pessimistic, more negative mindsets for a lot of years, your philosophy is just on the fritz, right? It's frazzled, right? Your outlook is just, it's ready to tap out. But what if you, for 20 minutes, 1/72nd of your day said, all right, I'm tired of a frazzled philosophy. I'm going to do what I can to go full stack. I'm going to do what I can to put my heart's highest priority top of the list. I'm going to do what I can to experience that in my life. And it's been what I've been able to find is that when you do that and your body supports that and your mind says, okay, I'll take a break. I'll go for a walk. I'll have a sandwich or something. And you get that in. Then all of a sudden your mind goes, wait a minute, that worked pretty well. Well, I don't seem to mind putting my heart's highest priority top of the list. Right? I've been guilty of trying these head games, but I've always been guilty of these head games because I thought I was ultimately helping. And then when your mind goes, wait a minute, I think this, whoa, we're onto something here. Hold on. Maybe this is a better way of doing it than I was doing it. Candace says, yep, this is going to be a great year. Right, Jamie? Yep, Jamie will know. She's busy hitting it as well. Candace, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Right? So one is the acceptance that you and I are responsible for being a receptacle of philosophical toxins, right? We filter our water. As I said earlier, we filter our food. We filter our air. We filter all these other things. Well, how about we filter our thoughts? How about no negative thoughts? And again, just for 20 minutes, what would it take? No brittle brains, right? No mangled minds. What would it take for just 20 minutes to go, no, I think I'll be happy. I think I will indeed take what I'm passionate about and display it right in front of me as I move through the world. And as you know now, I believe that here in the labyrinth, everything happens to teach us. Everything happens. And if you think, oh, that's a little too metaphysical for me, great. Then everything happens, not a priori, but everything happens, leaving us in a position to learn from that happenstance, to learn from that synchronicity, that serendipity that we talk about all the time, the havoc of those things here in the labyrinth of life. So what if I'm right? What's it going to cost you if I'm right? What am I trying to sell you? I'm trying to sell you a belief in 20-minute victories, right? And what you can do for yourself if you're focusing on doing it for 1/72nd of your day. And that is the way to finally rid yourself, or to begin to rid yourself, maybe 1 20-minute victory at a time, but to begin to rid yourself of the philosophical toxins that are keeping you unhappy, that are keeping you sad, that in some way, shape, or form are keeping you trapped. All right, in the closing minutes, 833-MIND-UPS, 833-646-3877, if you want to give us a holler. Oh, tonight is Wednesday. Don't forget, if you happen to be a fan, and who isn't, but if you happen to be a fan of Vikings, don't forget tonight, I think, is the season finale at 9 o'clock, so you want to be ready for that. It's cold. And think about that. Think about what it was like being a Viking. Talking about scars, talking about battles, talking about having to put up with cold weather. But, you know, I like mortal up a lot better than Viking up. But you can see, or if Lee's still here, and we talk from time to time when Lee's got a lot of things going on, like he was doing podcast interviews all day today, and we talk about, okay, it's time to bow tie up, right? But you look at these Vikings, they knew what was going on. They knew how to withstand, right, all kinds of different trouble. So what could you and I do for 20 minutes? Candace says she loves the Vikings, right? I'm with you, with you, with you, with you. So as we prepare to get out of here for the evening and give everyone enough time to get ready to take in the season finale of Vikings, remember that philosophical toxins exist at your invitation, right? Convective heat loss. What's the quickest way to beat wind chill factor? Cover your skin. Wear a good hat, right? We know now that a good hat is better than a pair of gloves or a jacket. A good hat because of the heat that radiates off the top of your head. So what if you and I say, okay, great. No more head games. Lee says, ha ha, bow tie up. I love that. Right? But no more head games. What if you and I were to agree we're not going to be a receptacle anymore for philosophical toxins? We're not going to be a receptacle anymore for binge thinking. That every time our mind gets ready to run wild, in Buddhism they call it like a crazy monkey, right? Your mind just get ready to run wild, go, oh, okay, great. Take in a deep breath. Remember, breathe in through your nose. Exhale through your mouth. We've talked, and maybe this is a good thing to leave with this evening, but my good friend David Ray Bowman reminds me from time to time that he and I have been kicking this around for years, but the best acronym, you breathe in, right? Breathe in through your nose, and you exhale. The S in the acronym for BEST, breathe in, exhale, scan your horizons, where you are right now, scan everything going on around you, and then T is to take action. So when you find yourself victimized by binge thinking, when you find yourself victimized by philosophical toxins, it's a good time to go, no, I'll breathe in, exhale. Now, the little thing I throw in every so often is to exhale your name, because we know now that the body works in such a way that if you can have the presence of breathing, right, so your body goes, what am I all worked up about? He or she seems to be breathing just fine. He knows what his name is, so you breathe in through your nose. You exhale. Sometimes you go, exhale. Just remember who you are. And then your body goes, wait a minute, there's no tunnel vision. He's breathing. He knows who he is. Everything seems to be good with her. What are we worried about? Then you scan your situation. Then, you know what I mean? You scan your horizon. And only after that, after you've taken it all in, because again, another physiological advantage of the body is that if your eyes are moving back and forth, you don't have that tunnel vision. We know that fear, right? You can be petrified. Right? Or you get tunnel vision from fear. When you scan your horizon and you look back and forth, the reason that I threw that into the best acronym is it's another trick to tell the body, well, wait a minute. She's scanning the horizon. She's looking all around. There can't be anything to ultimately be afraid of. And it's through that position, through those first three that we get to mortal up. And then the final T in the best acronym is then you take action with the very best parts of yourself. No fear, no trepidation. You're going to mortal up, and then you're going to go and kick in some doors. All right, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Thank you all so very much. That's how you smoke it. There you go. Oh, Candace, thank you very much. Have an absolutely fantastic evening. We'll be back tomorrow night for the 408th episode. To our new friends from Instagram, thank you for joining us this evening. And keep warm if you're in a cold part of the country, and we will see you tomorrow night. Once again, thank you so very much for joining us here at All Natural Being.
IPMNation.com.